Talk to me.
Welcome to On the Home Stretch with your host, Debbie Allen.
If technology has got you confused, go to Focus Resource Solutions. Focus Resource has been helping some of the most successful companies in the world, and now they're bringing that expertise to small and medium-sized businesses as well. You can visit them on the web at FocusResourceSolutions.com. That's FocusResourceSolutions.com. And while you're there, be sure and check out OnTheHomeStretch.com. A lot of fun things happening. And there you'll find out more about our first guest today, Jimmy Carter. Not the president, Jimmy Carter. Were you around in your business way before he was around?
Yep, he was the governor of Georgia. He was the governor of Georgia, and I was at radio, and I used to call up Atlanta to go visit my record people, and they'd be making reservation for Jimmy Carter, and it'd help you. You know, you'd get a king-size bed instead of a double.
Nice. You can find him on the web at AskJimmyCarter.com. That's AskJimmyCarter.com. Entertainment reporter, host of your own entertainment show. What's your show called that's syndicated all
well,
over?
Well, whatever. I'm like the entertainment reporter for about 60 or 70 different radio stations, from Spokane to Tampa, from Greensboro to Nashville, and everywhere in between. Syracuse, New York, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. I've been on in Scotland for a long time. I mean, I'm on all over the place with that. The Internet sort of made it a little bit more worldly because I threw an Internet site up. I don't even know why I did it, just to kind of put some stuff up there, pictures and things like that. And that's kind of given it more of a worldwide reach.
And now a few people go on there every day?
Yeah, and I get, and then I went to YouTube and started putting some interviews up because I own most of the interviews I've done in my life.
Like who with?
Oh,
really,
everyone from Clint Eastwood to O.J. Simpson to a lot of people. Sophia Loren, Ron Howard, Mel Gibson, all those people. And I put them up on the Internet. Not everyone, but a few. I put up 300. And now I get emails from Germany that are always words misspelled. But, I mean, you get things from Italy, and the people are so smart at YouTube, they tell you where you're getting all your stuff from.
Awesome.
Mostly it's North America, but, you know, I get some from Italy and Germany and the United Kingdom, and it's kind of cool.
How'd you go about that? Because in the early days of doing what you're doing, I imagine it was like an Entertainment Tonight reporter. Mm-hmm. So you work for another company, and
yeah.
So you don't get to own all that stuff.
Well,
so
you know, I was always this kind of person that either my bosses didn't care about the material that I was doing necessarily because it wasn't news stuff per se, or I was an independent contractor and kept all my material.
Smart.
So people like my material's been used on A&E Biography, E True Hollywood Story, and those kind of things because I own them, and I hauled them around forever. You know, at these we're not knowing where to put several thousand tapes is a problem for anybody's house, and plus you got to kind of store it where it doesn't get messed up.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I've been hauling this stuff around, and so finally it started to, you know, make me some money, many thousand a year.
Where
you know,
you
when you sell
that?
It sells for $40 a second. It sells for $40 a second to people like E and A&E and places like that. It's amazing.
That's
it doesn't take much
to get
stuff.
And how do you?
I've got them in Tupperware things, and I've got them numbered now. And thanks to my wife that knows how to do Excel, and I don't. She's got it all. You know, she's an accounting person, so she's got them all cross-based and all that stuff.
Do you have all these kind of machines, like Beta machines and VHS machines?
No, I do not. I have to go to a production house to do most of that, but then I just send it off to them. I say, okay, here's the raw. Take care of it. You know, I don't want to get bogged down in all that tape stuff. It just
all right, you seem like a very self-confident person. Have you ever been flabbergasted or flubber?
Oh, yeah. Both times I met Elvis Presley, I could not speak.
Really?
I've never had. It's the Jedi mind trick if you ever watched Star Wars. I mean, he came up to me both times, and it's a long story, but I'll give you that part. It's just that he came up to me, and I could not. My mouth didn't work. I was not that big an Elvis fan. I was a Beatle boy. I mean, my brothers liked Elvis, but he was very charismatic, and he came to me to talk, and I just looked at him with my mouth open. So that was bad. And then Clint Eastwood, one time I was interviewing him, and I loved Dirty Harry. I think that was just, as a man, that's just real. That and Sean Connery are two of my favorites. And he corrected me on a question. He said, did you mean to say this instead of that? Well, it was like broadcast news. I felt my left eye twitching. You can't see it on camera, but I felt my left eye just a twitching. And I looked cool on TV, but I was having a physical meltdown, sweating, and it was ugly. But, yeah, you have some stuff. Hopefully, you just don't let them see you sweat.
Who's a celebrity, female celebrity, that you thought, oh, my gosh, she lives up to the hype. She's drop-dead gorgeous.
In different ways, Julie Andrews. The most classy woman I've ever been.
Sound of Music? Lady?
Oh my God, she had the most beautiful skin.
Her.
It was
really?
Just like porcelain. She was very beautiful and elegant.
Did you want to reach out and touch her?
Yeah, elegant. Sophia Loren, I could have not, as a man, been in a room with her during her prime. This was like 10 or 15 years ago when she was a 20 year old. Oh Lord. And then for the modern day women, now a lot of you ladies will think she's kind of trashy, and maybe so, but.
Who?
Pam Anderson was kind of hot.
Oh, she is hot.
She was
when she
was in her 20s, when she was Pamela Lee. And also Kim Basinger, when she was really, really like in her early 30s, she was on fire. She definitely lived up to being the sexy.
Yeah.
I told her I could never go to the grocery store after seeing that movie. Whatever it was.
Oh, I know where they
with Mickey Rourke,
where
they get stuff out of the refrigerator. Yeah. I had a hard time changing these things off.
Tell me this. I always thought with beautiful women like that, that it's hard as they get older. Like to me, especially somebody like, now, I think Kim Basinger has, she is aged in a beautiful way and let herself, she's soft and all that. With a Pam Anderson and still all the fakey stuff.
She's smart.
Going on.
She's not a dumb person.
But
people think she's
stupid. What's she going to look like when she's old? I mean,
you know what,
I can't
though? She's reinvented herself more times than Kellogg's Corn Flakes. She just keeps putting it in a new box and keeps, you know, doing something with it. She has survived much longer than most bathing beauties get to.
That's
but
true.
Then you have people
like
Kim.
Like Dolly Parton. Dolly still has
Dolly
this
is,
youthful
but she's
spirit.
Brilliant. Now, the woman's worth $500 million, and she is just so smart. Smart. A lot of these people who you think maybe play dumb, they're dumb as a fox.
That's true.
And a lot of the women are just so bright. I mean, there have been definitely some that are not that way. But, boy, you look at some of them and you know, the Dolly Parton's a great example. She's just a great woman. She's a great person.
Yeah, she is.
At the end of the day, I flew with her to California once, and she probably wouldn't mind me telling you this. She has the, she tells the jokes like sailors were,
that's
you know,
my
like
word.
On the USS Eisenhower or something. I'm sitting there going, oh my God. So she's telling me, you know, and she did it as a woman to shock me, you know, just to kind of shock me to see what
I
Dolly
bet you
Parton
most of her
is.
Jokes are they boob jokes?
Every kind of joke. She just has jokes, you know, and she'll do anything just to shock you as a man.
And how do today's celebrities compare with, you know, celebrities of old?
Well, it's always unfair because I know as I get old, I'm not that old, but I don't want to be an old fart, you know, and so some of the young ones don't impress me very much. The Shia LaBeouf kid, he's okay. You know, but he's not as impressive as Tom Cruise.
Oh, I thought that Shia.
Shia, whatever his name is, yeah.
The
kid who messed his hand up and he was in. He's okay, but there's some of them that are just like you wave your hand in front of them and you just tell they're not particularly educated and they're not very deep and they're really light. And, but you, Tom Cruise in his day and even now, even though he's a little bit wacky, he was charming. You could see how any woman would be charmed by him. I spent a little time with him when he got through with the movie Legend at the Atlanta High Museum when he was dating Rebecca De Mornay. And he was just a nice kid. He was a nice young man, but very sharp and very charismatic. Got wacky as he got older.
How do you keep from being intimidated? Let me tell you again.
I don't know.
Who we're talking to. We're talking to Jimmy Carter. He is. He has these entertainment shows, and he's an entertainment reporter for a bunch of different radio stations all over the country. You can find him on the web at AskJimmyCarter.com. That's AskJimmyCarter.com. All right, so how do you keep from being intimidated?
I don't know. I think, you know, because by all rights, I've always said I didn't have any right to be there. I mean, I was
what
in the
do you
old...
mean?
I just didn't feel I was from Montgomery, Alabama as a little boy. You know, my father was a judge and president of the American Bar Association and all that stuff at a time, but I didn't want to go be a lawyer. I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, and there's one of the Warren Brothers right there.
Uh-huh.
I saw the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, and it changed my life, like it did Tom Hanks and several other people who saw that one moment on television in 1964.
Did it disappoint your daddy that you didn't
No, he was good about this, and I've done it with my children. He said, just be the best at whatever you do, and I'll be happy with that. Just be the best. And, you know, don't be, if you're going to be the, whatever it is, you're the best garbage man, you be the best garbage man, but you just be the best at whatever you're going to do, and I'm not going to have any trouble with that.
Yeah.
And that was pretty cool of him to do that. I appreciated him. He was very supportive as a father.
Any of your kids following in your footsteps?
Absolutely
and hang
not.
Out
my 11-year-old might now, but I don't know. I mean, I was kind of that way with my dad. I mean, he got to when he was in the Bar Association during the Civil Rights Movement, he was advising President Kennedy. I would see him be written about in the New Yorker of sitting there with President Kennedy in the Oval Office and something. And I said, man, I couldn't hold this guy's wallet, you know, so I'm not going in that direction. I don't want to be compared to him because I knew no matter what I did would never equal what he did.
Yeah.
So I wanted to start out something on my own. I always thought television and radio and music was really cool. And I went into news, was where I went to sports, really. I worked with Howard Cosell early on in early days of Monday Night Football, but I didn't like sports enough. I liked being where things were, like being the action reporter on something. You grow out of that. But when you're young, it is fun chasing fires and going to shootings and robberies. And, you know, and political stuff is interesting early on, but it gets boring. It's repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
And so does the shootings and the robberies and all that stuff. And I got tired of making people sad. So I said, I'm going to make them happy. I'm going to cover entertainment. And I'm going to do it not like the ditzy people do it. I'm going to do it like your next-door neighbor would and tell you this movie is awful or this movie is good, and I'm not going to like art movies, and I'm going to like Clint Eastwood movies and Star Wars movies and stuff like that. And so carved
a
niche
out. I always thought you did a great job because you were very natural. Mm-hmm. When things happened, you weren't trying to – there was no pretense with you. You got what you know.
I worked with Howard Cosell for a little while, who people may or may not remember, but he was one of the smartest people I ever met. He would do Chevrolet commercials or whatever his sponsorship would do, just do it all, just off cuff. And then he'd start doing all these statistics. He was just brilliant. He would pace around with his cigar doing his local radio show before he did TV. And I just learned, just be real, you know, be natural, be loyal to people. You meet the same people going up as you do going down. Try to be good. And, yeah, we all go through stages where we may not be the best-behaved people in the world, but I think I tried, you know, overall to get people to like me, and I've been fair with people.
You made some sacrifices to keep Nashville as your home base.
Yeah,
why'd you do that? Why didn't you go to L.A. or New York?
Could be fear in some cases. I was intimidated by New York. I loved being there when I went a lot, and I went to L.A. a lot, but I always felt poor in Los Angeles, no matter how rich I kept getting. No matter how much money I had, you never have enough money to think you got any money in L.A. Everybody's broke in L.A. because they've got, you know, they're so ostentatiously wealthy with their Ferraris. And no matter what car, I mean, I would rent Jaguars to pull up to the Four Seasons just so I wouldn't feel like I was a hillbilly, you know, sometimes. And it was interesting. Some of it was fear, but I really did. I liked living in Texas and I liked living in Tennessee, and I'm from Alabama and I'm just more comfortable. I liked getting on a jet like Nicole Kidman is doing now and others are doing, Brad Paisley, and fly to wherever it is you need to go and then come home.
Yeah,
I like that.
What's Nicole like?
A little stiff, but I think she's probably pretty much fun if you got her around while everybody's looking at her.
Got a couple of drinks in her.
Got a couple of drinks in her and lighten her up a little bit.
Yeah. You think
put a shrimp
lethal
on the Barbie.
Hey, we're talking to Jimmy Carter. You can find him on the web at AskJimmyCarter.com. I'm Debbie Allen. We'll return with more on the home stretch right after this.
Massachusetts State Treasurer Tim Cahill's Abandoned Property Division is holding an auction on eBay this month. Abandoned property items that are being auctioned include coins, collectibles, jewelry, stamps, gold, silver, and much more. The auction will be held from December 4th through December 15th, 2008, exclusively on eBay. Log on to ebay.com now for your chance to bid. Need more details? Visit the Abandoned Property Division's website at findmassmoney.com.
Being an online merchant has its rewards, but you're so busy it leaves little time for marketing. Here's a solution: Sales in a Click. A one-of-a-kind email marketing service that drives sales and increases store traffic with little or no effort. Simply sign up and log in to see your polished and engaging e-newsletter ready to send. Fully automated and integrated with your eBay store or ProStore store, your e-newsletter will feature your products, your branding, your store categories, and magazine-quality content. All you have to do is sit back and watch your sales increase. Each month, your customers and prospects will receive a polished and engaging e-newsletter that drives them back to your web store. And with our 60-day free trial, you can start sending your first e-newsletter only minutes from now. Visit salesandaclick.com/radio and try your 60-day free trial today. It really is as simple as sales and a click.
Did you hear the news? The war is over and Blu-ray is the winner. So next time you head to your favorite computer and electronics store, rush over to the Philips Lite-On section for the best quality Blu-ray products. The partnership between Philips and Lite-On, or PLDS as I like to call them, assures you of the best of the best. PLDS offers a great selection of Blu-ray products to satisfy all your consumer needs. To learn more about PLDS, visit them at www.lightonamericas.com.
Sales 101. It costs 6 to 7 times more to get a new customer than it takes to keep a current customer. It takes on average 7 touch points for a prospect to become a customer. I'm Jack Warren, Senior Sales VP of the WS Radio Networks, and I would like to let you in on one of our secrets. WS Radio has compiled hundreds of thousands of emails through dozens of targeted email lists. We stay in touch with our listeners, prospects via email, newsletters, and announcements. The man behind the scenes is the president of WS Radio, known as Captain Email. Considered one of the top email marketers in the country, Captain Email is offering a free trial with no credit cards required. Plus, receive 10 proven email marketing tips on how to start and grow your own email marketing list at CaptainEmail.com. See for yourself how easy it is to do email marketing the right way at CaptainEmail.com. That's CaptainEmail.com.